You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. When Pastor James David Manning first came on the scene a little over 2 years ago, I stood up in support of this great man of God. He speaks the truth. He communicates in ways that nobody can miss, and sometimes some of his adjectives and his nouns may offend people that are not used to those sorts of words being in the Christian vocabulary. This man is a great man of God. He is my brother, and I have stood with him since day one, and I will continue to stand with this stunning example of the power of Jesus Christ to change a life. They have provided shelter for thousands of homeless people, tens of thousands of hungry people they have fed, hundreds if not thousands he's educated. He's prayed over every residence, pleading the blood of Jesus over every residence in Harlem, New York. This man is a man of God. There are things in the news that he reported that are important for you to know. And I want you to hear some things that you may not know that are important that are happening. And also a little bit more about this man. And I will stand with him whether you take offense or you don't. He is a great man of God, and he has my full support. Very few have the strong support that I give to Pastor James David Manning, my brother, and I'm happy to call him a friend and would minister with him anywhere, anytime. Pastor James David Manning, he's a man that needs to be heard. Hallelujah.
Welcome to the Manning Report. I am James David Manning, the quintessential American, everybody, broadcasting from the great metropolis of New York City. How's everybody doing today? I pray everybody's doing well. I'm really thankful that Obama's not in town anymore. He was here twice in 1 week. And by the way, all of you people out there who said he's coming back to Harlem, get your business straight. Listen, you're probably living in some hick town out there, and you don't even know anything about New York City. Listen, downtown Manhattan is 50 million light years away in terms of social understanding, money, and everything else as where Harlem is. So they're two different worlds, 50 million different worlds, if you don't mind. Now, I got a lot of things happening today. What's his name? Donald Trump. Not what's his name, but Mr. Donald Trump, entrepreneur par excellence, was on the Today Show today, and I'm going to be playing that, queuing that up in just a few moments. I don't know if you listened to the last segment just a few moments ago of Robert Joseph Miller's introduction of Bob Shine's Bible reading program. We still got to tweak it, though, you know. But, you know, it's a great idea, and you forgive me for being so overwhelmed. I've assigned some young men to work on this project. They're called the Men of the East. and we're going to get it all together. Going to be back, you know, put on your seatbelts, everybody. We're going to be listening to Donald Trump on NBC earlier today. If you haven't heard that, you'll hear it here. And he was also on CNN at noon today. He's making the rounds. He's surging in the polls, by the way. You know, he could be the new Ronald Reagan. What do you think? I'll be right back, everybody, in 3 shakes of my sterling silver sword.
Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works, through the greatness of thy power. Shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee, and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins.
All right, everybody, so the government's going to shut down, is that right? Now, we're going to see the true colors of what's happening in America here very shortly, come tomorrow. Because the long-legged Mac Daddy, one of the things I pray everybody would recognize, that the long-legged Mac Daddy has got power that, just like Bill Clinton had. You know, these liberals, they are immoral, is all outdoors. You know, and no matter what they do, the American public, because of the media and because of the absence of morality and integrity in our nation, generally support the Democrats. And you know, they're 2-to-1 Democrats in America, and left-wingers, as opposed to conservatives. So if the government shuts down, it's going to be my you know, estimation that the Republicans are going to lose. And the other thing is that the Tea Party members are out there jumping up and down, talking about shut it down, shut it down, shut it down. And I don't think that's very good for America, for the Tea Party members to be out there talking about shut down the government, because, quite frankly, a number of people can be hurt by this. Now, they're talking about soldiers not getting the pay, but I don't think any soldiers are going to miss a pay. And in fact, I heard reports that the Social Security payments, military payments, all those things will go on automatically, and we all know that they will. There ain't no way that soldiers are not going to get their pay. They don't make very much money anyway. So, but the Tea Party out there jumping up and down, what do you think about that? Do you really think you want to see the government shut down? I don't think that's appropriate. It didn't help Newt Gingrich. It ain't going to help John Boehner. I know John Boehner don't want to see the government shut down, because if the government shuts down tomorrow, then John Boehner is going to be in the same position that Newt Gingrich is in, only 10 times worse, because at least Newt Gingrich could talk his way out of things. Boehner's not quite that eloquent, and he's not quite that skilled. Though he may be faithful to the conservative Republican cause, he is not as skilled as Newt Gingrich was. And yet, Newt Gingrich got kicked to the curb by Bill Clinton. So this business of shutting down the government is not a good idea, everybody. It just isn't. And I pray that they work something out. I understand they're like $30 billion away from coming to some sort of an agreement. But the Republicans, being fueled on by the Tea Party, are insisting that they disengage money for Planned Parenthood, and there's another heinous cause that is supported by the government, just as bad as Planned Parenthood, that they want to disengage as well. And I'm for that. I think that Planned Parenthood ought not to get any more money from the government. And I think people in Planned Parenthood ought to be brought up on charges of murder. And they said, "Oh man, my goodness gracious me, where'd that come from?" Well, this matter of aborting children is my friend. What do you think it is? Well, what do you think it is? You know, everybody want to have sex, but nobody wants to pay the consequences. You know, children are born in the world, and I think Planned Parenthood ought to be put out of business. And the fact that the Republicans and Tea Party members are holding out for that is a good thing. I like that. But I'm convinced that it might not be the best thing to shut down the government as a result of it. But if they can get it done, I'm praying. So if you're out there, I'm not praying for the Tea Party. I've had it with them. As you know, I believe they're turncoats, a bunch of hypocrites. But I am praying for the Republicans. I'm praying for John Boehner. I am. You want to hear me pray for him? Lord, give John Boehner the strength to be able to withstand the storm and the likes of Satan's son, Barack Obama, and all these low-life, no-good, filthy, immoral Democrats. Amen. See? And that's a serious prayer, too, by the way. So why you pray like that? Why you talk to the Lord like that? Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, the Lord looks at our heart, right? He looks at the inside. So he sees what's in my heart anyway. It's no point me trying to fool him. And I think that's what's wrong with America right now. You know, we wouldn't have to worry about shutting down Planned Parenthood if people weren't such hypocrites and everybody trying to be politically correct. Because people would say what they mean. And that's why I think it's important that we get a hearing from Donald Trump. Yeah, because it's highly possible that Trump might be the nominee for the Republican Party. And if he is, Lord have mercy, you're talking about a very interesting and tumultuous time. If Trump becomes the nominee, black people are going to riot. And I said black people would not riot if, you know, Obama was kicked to the curb. If Obama was marched out of the White House, he in the fist bumper, Michelle the fist bumper, in an orange jumpsuit. Black people would sit there, all right, okay, pass the hot sauce. Give me some more of that, call them that pork chop. But if Donald Trump runs, black people are going to riot. Because probably what they think is somebody's going to mess with their welfare check. So Donald Trump don't play that. Everybody knows if Obama gets kicked to the curb, you know, then the welfare checks are not going to stop. The Planned Parenthood checks are not going to stop. The Social Security, disability, and all that stuff that they get, all that good stuff they're getting right now, it's going to keep on going. By the way, I heard that Acorn officials out in Phoenix, Arizona, was it Phoenix or Nevada, Las Vegas, pled guilty to criminal charges in the last 2008 election. And Acorn, as you know, has been effectively shut down. So Obama used Acorn last year, like 2 years ago, to get elected. And all that, you know, all that welfare dope money, the Mexicans. You know what? Can I offer something to you as a solution? If you get rid of Obama as the U.S. prez, well, I have to back up because dope sales in America increased under George Bush. And so the demographics have changed. People that buy dope now work on Wall Street. And they work in the Congress and they have highfalutin jobs and they work in academia. Nearly every professor you see in the Ivy League schools, whether it be Columbia or Yale or Harvard or Stanford or MIT, you know, Princeton, any of these schools at any time, probably 2/3 of the professors are on dope, and the other 2/3 are on Johnny Walker Red or Wild Turkey. And that's just how it is. So I think dope sales in America could be greatly curtailed. They just discovered 59 people buried in a grave down in Mexico today. 59 people killed at one time and put in a grave. Mexican drug trade. Why are they killing each other? Because of the money they can make selling dope to America. And black people in Harlem not buying all that dope, North, South, Central Los Angeles, they ain't got that kind of money. It's being sold to Wall Street. All right, everybody, I'm going to take a break. And I'll be back in 3 shakes of my sterling silver sword. Hold tight. You got the Manning Report, everybody. Donald Trump's coming up. Look alive, everybody. We're back with more of the Manning Report, your favorite all-time radio broadcast. Now, today we are going to feature at this hour, which is going to take us past the bottom of the hour news break, the interview that was done this morning on the Today Show with Mr. Donald Trump. And so as we promised earlier, we've got this interview, we've got it lined up, we've got it recorded. of Mr. Donald Trump being interviewed on the Today Show, and of course he had some very interesting things to say. And I would like to just kind of do an exegesis of Mr. Trump's presidential plan. He's surging in the polls at present. There has been an NBC Wall Street Journal poll that's got him running second only behind Mitt Romney. So go ahead now and roll the clip of Donald Trump on the Today Show this morning.
The new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll shows a surprising surge for one potential Republican candidate, and it is a name that you will recognize. Donald Trump is in a tie for second with Mike Huckabee among likely voters in a Republican primary. Mitt Romney leads. But among Republicans who consider themselves Tea Party supporters, Trump is the number one choice. On Wednesday, we sat down with him for an exclusive interview, and I began by asking Trump about his potential run.
Well, this is very serious. I mean, I always take things seriously, but I've never taken it seriously like this. This is a very serious time in my life. I hate what's happening to the country. I wish I didn't have to do it. I wish this country was running so great, and I wish Obama was the greatest president since Abraham Lincoln, and I wish this was the greatest place in the world. What we're doing,
I really believe that statement. I believe that statement that Trump is saying that he wish he did not have to do it. I believe he has a genuine interest and love for this nation, whether you think so or not. And that probably is the most affirmative statement yet about the fact he is going to run. But continue, roll the clip further.
Jobs are disappearing to foreign countries where the oil, you're going to be paying $7 or $8 a gallon for your oil very soon.
But do you blame this all on Barack Obama?
Well, I blame a lot of it. It's been a terrible presidency. Look at Libya. We go in, we don't want to remove Gaddafi, but we're going to go fight and we're going to this. And now nobody knows what's happening. And it looks like Gaddafi is going to beat the United States.
Would you, as president, say, let's get more aggressive. Let's put boots on the ground if we have to.
I'm only interested in Libya if we keep the oil. If we don't keep the oil, I'm not interested. I don't know who the rebels are. You know, they make the rebels like it's some romantic, beautiful novel, the rebels. I hear the rebels are Al-Qaeda. I hear they're
And that's
Iran.
That's the other thing, my friend. You know, and that means he'd be willing to go after the dunghill media now. People like Anderson Cooper and others and all of these media people are trying to make the rebels like these wonderful people doing all these wonderful things. These people are more treacherous than the present leadership structure that was in Egypt and Hosni Mubarak. At least in Egypt, as Dr. Rapaki said on yesterday, 30 years of peace with Israel, 30 years of a great relationship with America, 30 years of great tourism, you know, and now you've got the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda in Egypt and you ain't going. The world's best days and Egypt's best days are behind you. And by the way, if you, as an American, you haven't seen the pyramids close up, you may never get an opportunity to see them because of the present leadership. So Trump is right. You know, these rebels in Libya, that's Al-Qaeda. And we've got to stop treating and this reporting as if these people are, you know, the nicest people on the planet. They're just power hungry and see an opportunity to overthrow the present leader. Continue to roll the clip.
Backed an Iran influence. Where are they getting those weapons before we came along? From Iran. Gaddafi's going to go around saying he won the war against his country. When you ask me what I do, I'm only interested in Libya if we get the oil.
All right, so everybody wonders what the Obama doctrine is, asking questions.
He doesn't have a doctrine. He doesn't have a doctrine.
Would
he
you? Really What's your doctrine? What would your doctrine be?
About what? With respect to what?
With foreign affairs.
Foreign affairs is we take care of ourselves first, okay? We don't build schools in Afghanistan. We go to Afghanistan, we build a road, we build a school. 2 days later, they blow up the road, they blow up the school, we start building the road and the school again. In the meantime, we can't build schools in Alabama, in New Orleans, in Texas, in New York, my place where we're always fighting to try and get school money. We're spending trillions and trillions of dollars. My thing and my doctrine would be build, build, build.
Some positive news for you, this new poll, NBC News Wall Street Journal poll that shows you surging to second place among potential GOP candidates for 2012. Why do you think that you are connecting with voters?
I think that I connect with people because I happen to be smart. I happen to have a lot of common sense. I happen to know what I'm doing. I built a great company. And by the way, if I run, I look so forward to filing a declaration because it's a great company. I built a great company. And I'll make that decision sometime prior to June.
What are you waiting
but
for?
I think
what are
I
you
res-
waiting for?
Well, I hate to say it. I have the number one show on NBC.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good, fellas.
Is that a correct statement? I mean, The Apprentice is doing great, The Celebrity Apprentice. And I am not allowed to run.
What does that have to do
with has a lot to do. It sounds so trivial, and I hate to even bring it up, but I'm not allowed to run during the show. No, you're not allowed to have a show on and be a declared candidate.
Thank you, pizza pie.
It's a great show, and it's got phenomenal ratings. And until that show is over, I can't declare, because otherwise NBC would have to take the show off the air. And I think that would be very unfair to NBC.
Recently, you've spent a lot of time talking about President Obama's birth certificate, or lack thereof. You don't seem convinced that he has one.
No, I'm not convinced that he has one. I've had very smart people say, Donald...
Now, that is a powerful statement that Trump is saying, that he is not convinced that Obama has a birth certificate. That is so powerful that he's made such a statement. But continue. Let's listen to the rest of it.
Stay on the China issue. Stay on the Saudi Arabia issue. Stay on the India taking our jobs and the Mexico, which is NAFTA, which
out New England.
Get off the birth certificate issue.
Why don't you?
Because you know what? 3 weeks ago when I started, I thought he was probably born in this country. And now I really have a much bigger doubt than I did before.
But based on what?
And you know what? His grandmother in Kenya said he was born in Kenya and she was there and witnessed the birth. Okay? He doesn't have a birth certificate, or he hasn't shown it. He has what's called a certificate of live birth. That is something that's easy to get. When you want a birth certificate, it's very hard to get.
But it's considered the equivalent.
And in the it's not the equivalent.
In the state of Hawaii, they said they have
Meredith,
seen this document. It is evidence that he was born in the United States.
Now, Meredith is trying to spin this. That is falsehood. That is wire fraud. It is outright. And that's what all of these liberal, sick-minded supporters of Obama try to do. But she can't beat Donald Trump. She's not beating him down on this issue, because she's trying to push him to say, well, what he has shown is sufficient, and everybody knows that it ain't. There ain't no way. It doesn't have a doctor's name on it. It doesn't have a hospital's name on it. I mean, it doesn't have any verifiable information at all on it. It is absolutely sickening that these people, these Merediths, these Anderson Coopers, these Bill O'Reillys, that they suggest that that is sufficient. O'Reilly even lied, which he's backing away from now, and said he saw the original birth certificate, but let it roll it on. Continue.
States that's good enough for them. Scholars have looked
at it. A birth certificate is not even close. A certificate of live birth is not even signed by anybody. I saw his. I read it very carefully. Doesn't have a serial number, doesn't have a signature. There's not even a signature.
Do you believe he's lying?
I'm starting to think that he was not born here.
Do you believe he's lying, Donald? Come on, just
answer. Meredith, he spent $2 million in legal fees trying to get away from this issue. And if he weren't lying, why wouldn't he just solve it? And I wish he would, because if he doesn't, it's one of the greatest scams in the history of politics and in the history, period. You are not allowed to be a president if you're not born in this country. He may not have been born in this country. And I'll tell you what, 3 weeks ago I thought he was born in this country. Right now I have some real doubts. I have people that actually have been studying it, and they cannot believe what they're finding.
You have people now down there searching, I mean, in Hawaii?
Absolutely, and they cannot believe what they're finding. I would like to have him show his birth certificate. And can I be honest with you? I hope he can. Because if he can't, and if he wasn't born in this country, which is a real possibility, I'm not saying it happened, I'm saying it's a real possibility, much greater than I thought 2 or 3 weeks ago, then he has pulled one of the great cons in the history of politics, and beyond politics.
Do you consider yourself a Tea Partier?
I think so. I'm very proud.
All right, okay, we can disconnect there. Now, you know, just a couple of things that Trump has said. One is that if Obama's not born in America, and he's not, and the only living witness, the only reputable, the only trustworthy testimony, the only document that is available are the words of his grandmother in Kenya, who said he was born in Mombasa, and that is that. But the other thing is that Donald Trump raised as an issue on the Today Show with Meredith is that Obama has spent $2 million, everybody, trying to make this question about his birth certificate go away. Now, listen up, black people, and listen up, liberal white people, and listen up, media, and listen up, world. Listen up, everybody. You don't spend $2 million of anybody's money to try to fight a legal battle that has effectively stated that you are not eligible to be the U.S. president because you were not born in America and there's no verifiable information to demonstrate that you are. Obama is not a wealthy man, though he's made a few million since his presidency or illegal presidency off of his books. But beyond that, he is not an inherently wealthy man. And $2 million is more than half of the money that he has made from the sale of books. And you just don't do that. You just don't throw $2 million down a rat hole just because you want to make James David Manning and Mickey Booth and all the other so-called birthers angry with you. This man doesn't have a birth certificate, America. So now what the next thing is that Trump says, and Trump verified that, and nobody's challenging that. There's a law firm in Washington, D.C., Cole and somebody, who has charged this man $2 million and still counting because the suits are still being filed. So the next, and so nobody challenges. So that's a verifiable fact. That's how much money has been spent. The other thing is, this is the biggest scam in American political history. It is the biggest scam in the history of politics and the history of this world. And it's going to blow wide open. Now, you may not accept my counsel. You may disdain anything I say. You may curse the day I was born. That's okay with me. I'm still me. I'm happy about me and me. I'm so thrilled I'm me. There ain't no way I'd want to be anybody else but me. I am the quintessential me. So it doesn't matter what you think about me. It just doesn't matter. I don't know if you haven't paid any attention to that yet. But the thing of it is this. It is better to resolve this matter now. And I think the best people to step forward and say of Mr. Barack Obama, listen, you're supposed to be the alleged first black president, but you're making all black people look like criminals. We've already got a bad reputation of being that now. And don't you tell me you done stepped up here in the White House and came in here as a criminal. Oh, no, you didn't. So you're going to have to get out there, and you're going to have to show us more, something more than that flimsy little old green piece of paper with your name on it saying that this is a legitimate birth certificate. We all know the flim-flam gang. Everybody in the black neighborhoods, everybody in the hood knows the flim-flam gang. Everybody in the hood knows how to hang paper. Everybody knows when we're seeing when a Murphy is being run on us. We know it. So it would behoove the black community. It would behoove people like Louis Farrakhan to say, now, brother Muslim Obama, you know, let's clear this matter up. Black people have all had a bad reputation for a very long time, and you're giving us a worse reputation, one that we can never live down. So you need to do something here now more than this shucking and jiving that you're doing about this birth certificate, and you're silent on it, and you're trying to run away from it, and you got all your white liberal friends lying to beat the band to cover it up. You need to do something about this, homeboy. Farrakhan ought to say that. Sharpton ought to tell him, listen, man, this is hurting the integrity of the whole black nation. I mean, listen, if you're a Kenyan, if you're an African, if your grandmama is saying that you were born in Kenya, are you calling your grandmama a lie? I mean, you let somebody call your grandmama a liar? You know, is your grandmama lying? I mean, Sharpton ought to say that. Jackson and all this other crowd of people that so-called are leaders in the alleged black community. My friends, Obama, he is not the U.S. president. We don't have president. So I would think that the sooner we get this behind us, the better off we're going to be. But I can tell you this. It's most assuredly going to come to the light. This thing is not going to go away. And everybody that is foolishly supporting this criminal, Obama is a low-life thug from Chicago who figured out how to get in the White House by pimping white people. I'll say it again. Obama is a low-life thug that came out of Chicago crime syndicate who figured out how to pimp white people. He speaks white. He talks white. He walks white. He knows how to pimp white people. He knows how to pimp white businessmen. He knows how to pimp other criminals, thugs, and liars. And that's how he was able to pimp this whole idea of getting into the White House. But it ain't going to stand. God be my witness. This ain't going to stand. You're listening to the Manning Report. And Obama, if you're listening, give it up, homeboy. Do what J.C. Duggar did out there. Do what every other criminal does who wants to protect the people that he loves greatly. Confess and get it behind us and throw yourself on the mercy of the court. But God be my witness and the Lord God be my strength and be my rear guard, who he is. He's my shield and my buckler, and his name is Jesus. And I am not going to stop this pursuit until you are duly arrested, put in jail for the great crimes you perpetrated against this great nation. And my guardian angel Michael and the spirit of David rest upon me as I take on all of these liars and crooks and thieves and haters from way back. Until this, God has sent me. That's why I gave the prophecy some time ago that you would not be the president. God Almighty gave me that prophecy that you would not, and you ain't. Now my eighth grade school teacher told me the word ain't proper, but you ain't the president. God spoke to me that you would not be, and that's where this fervor and fire is coming from. This fire is coming from heaven. This fire is coming from the throne of God. This fire against you burning in me, Obama, is coming off the altar of Almighty God. You will be exposed. You will be held before the white, great white throne judgment of God. And all of history and antiquity will know what a scam. But all is going to come to the light. I am the warring crusader James David Manning, sent by Almighty God. And I don't plan to quit. And the Lord has no mind for retreat. He doesn't sound retreat. I'm James David Manning, and this is the Manning Report.
Foundation, Matthew 7, verses 24 through 26. Come, join the Atlah celebration in prophecy. In Atlah, you will never beg bread. In Atlah, you will never be defeated, because Atlah is holy ground. Almighty God has spoken this through his prophet, the Honorable James David Manning. For 10 solid years, Honorable Manning has walked this community from river to river. He has walked the length and the breadth of this community and prayed over every apartment, every tenement building, and every street. Whether it was a rainy, stormy day or a huge snowstorm, he was not deterred. And as a result, this land is blessed. ATLA is built on God's word and principles. It's been built on a strong foundation. And whatever you build on this land will surely prosper. If you will come under the teaching and leadership of the Honorable James David Manning and follow him as he follows the Lord Jesus Christ, you too will never beg bread and you will never be defeated.
I just think that people should pray, turn to the scripture, turn to the Lord, and don't worry so much as who's going to win the next election or not, because it's already set in stone. What they should be worrying about is salvation and saving their soul. And then they'll find a sense of peace that will be able to carry them through these tumultuous times that are coming about for Christians. And read the Bible, read the scripture, so they have the armor of God on their side. They find peace in their soul, stand up for Christianity, and when the time comes, they will be strong enough, and eternal life is what it's all about. This is the short life we're living on this earth. They can take our flesh, they can take our body, they can martyr us, but they can't take our soul. And as long as they can't take our soul, we will have eternal life while they'll be rotting in the pits of hell. You cannot prepare yourself for martyrdom or for the accusations that will be thrown in your face about Christianity until you read the scripture, armor yourself with the word of God, become strong in your faith, and nobody can hurt you. Nobody. And God will direct us what to do in the next phase of this tribulation is what it is. And more people need to concentrate on the scripture, the Torah, the New Testament, the Old Testament, Jesus, Yeshua is the Messiah. You can only get to the Father through the Son. And unless you accept Jesus as the Messiah and ask for salvation and mercy, you will never make it to eternal life. And you will never have the Holy Spirit guiding you. Just like the trade winds guide the eagle in flight, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us in flight, to get us to the end, to get us to our destination in a peaceful manner where we won't be flapping our wings and die of exhaustion and never get to our destination.
Look alive, everybody. We're back. You've got the Manning Report. Now, Glenn Beck, we broke the story yesterday, leaving Fox News. And ABC News ran an article on the day that it was quite muted last night. I don't know if you watched. I watched O'Reilly, at least part of it. I couldn't watch all of it. I was in prayer meeting last night. And I caught the tail end of it by the time the prayer meeting was over with. But the I didn't hear them say anything about their pal or his number one cut buddy, who had been his traveling companion. They've been traveling around the country holding these shows together. I heard him say nothing at all. Did you hear him say anything last night? Did you hear him stand up for his friend, O'Reilly? I mean, did you hear O'Reilly stand up for Beck? But I broke the story yesterday, right here on the Manning Report, that Beck is leaving Fox News, and I went ahead and stated while Fox News and O'Reilly, Fox News and Roger Ailes, everybody's saying that the reason why he's leaving is because of he's making a transition. But I didn't hear O'Reilly say a word for his friend last night. Did you? Maybe they didn't know. Maybe O'Reilly didn't know. Maybe he didn't know. Maybe he's a pinhead, or maybe he's a patriot, or maybe we don't know, we don't know, we don't know, we don't know, you know. And then, of course, Sean Hannity comes on the hour thereafter, and they're talking about every little thing. They're discussing all kinds of interesting shop. Sean Hannity even announced he's going to be with Al Sharpton tonight at the Sheraton Hotel, going to be with Al Mophead Sharpton at the National Action Network, Black People's Heaven, Hog Heaven. And I mean, nobody said a word. It's like, they don't even know Glenn who? Glenn who? Leaving what? Nobody said a word last night. Greta Van Susteren, you never say the thing anyway, you know, Greta. But nobody said a word. It's like, Glenn who? What? It's like, who? You know, there's nothing last night. So, I don't, I don't understand what's happening. But anyway, ABC said something today, so maybe we ought to send this clip. I want to send this clip of ABC News to Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity, because they haven't heard that Beck is leaving. I mean, Beck and O'Reilly were traveling around in limousines and holding these joint mega conferences and everything, and people just pouring into these stadiums and everything to see this two-class act of O'Reilly and Beck. But I don't know. Maybe O'Reilly doesn't know. Anyway, roll the clip.
Beck and Fox News have announced that they are parting ways. John Berman joins us with that story. And John, they're trying to make this seem like a friendly divorce.
This is clearly a marriage that went sour, George. Falling ratings, fleeing advertisers. And like many divorces, it had at least one partner that kept on saying things that, well, that went pretty far. He barked. He cried.
I just love my country.
He ranted,
Joe Biden, Joe Biden, Joe Biden, Joe Biden.
All while he built an army of fans that he led to Washington last summer with religious zeal.
Not just pray, but pray on your knees.
In more than 2 years at Fox News, Glenn Beck was a pivotal force in building the conservative grassroots and building support for the Tea Party.
Does the president really think we're this stupid?
But even for Fox News, the conservative cable channel, it might have become too much.
The bigger that Beck became, the more outrageous and outlandish some of the things he said seemed to be.
His trademark blackboard filled with conspiracy theories.
It's all connected. These people down here are radicals.
His rhetoric filled with controversy.
This president has a deep-seated hatred for white people or the white culture.
Even last night, his show was filled with visions of impending global doom.
I believe we're heading into deep and treacherous waters.
With these apocalyptic visions, he was losing advertisers and viewers, his ratings falling 30% from last year. And as for the comics like Jon Stewart, who have filled hours of their shows attacking Beck, they might be losing a favorite target.
I'm sorry, I promised myself that I would cry.
You get the sense that Fox wasn't laughing anymore. The head of Fox News, Roger Ailes, says he's read that Beck was fired, he's read that Beck has quit. Ailes says he's happy with both interpretations. Beck will do specials for Fox, he'll keep his radio show, he'll be on the internet. I think you'll see plenty of them in the future.
I think we will, but it sounds like Ailes is mostly just happy that Beck is gone.
I think so.
Okay, John Berman, thanks very much.
Well, actually, you know, that's ABC's spin. And ABC, you know, George Stephanopoulos and John Berman, they're carrying water for ABC. They're taking a shot at Beck, because Beck was very effective against them. And so all those clips they just ran in defense of Beck, they're just taking a shot at Beck because they were all claiming that he was a loon and that he was all unhinged and all his things were unorthodox and apocalyptic and all that. So they're now trying to, you know, make themselves look good. We know what that's all about. ABC is just trying to make themselves look good and slam Beck and slam Fox. That's all they're trying to do. I understand that clearly. But the real deal is that Beck is leaving because he has had enough. Listen, Beck's show is bigger than George Stephanopoulos' show. Check that out. Beck's show is bigger than ABC and bigger than NBC. And of course, you know, would remain so. But the reason why Beck is leaving is because he's tired of carrying the water and promoting that liberal lie that Obama is eligible, that he is indeed a U.S. citizen, and Beck has just had enough of it, and he's had enough of being controlled by Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch, and also his immediate supervisor and controlling freak was Bill O'Reilly, who treated him like a stepchild. So long, Beck. I guess we'll see you around, homeboy. I will say this to you, Beck. I did work as hard as I can to pull you down. I did, and I'll say it because of your flip-flopping and because you're accusing people who are alleged to be, who are called birthers, to be foolish. And when you did that, bro, it was all over with. And the other thing I think is very important, Beck, and we want to continue to remind everybody, You tried to steal Dr. Martin Luther King's legacy. You did. Now, you can say you didn't, but that whole honor thing down there in Washington was a sham, and I know it. But I'm willing to open up my heart and forgive you. Of course, you're going to have to do something about that Mormonism business as well, because you know that ain't of God. That's Joseph Smith trying to steal Jesus' thunder. Joseph Smith tried to steal Jesus' thunder, tried to build a new Jerusalem in Salt Lake City, tried to write a New Testament called the Book of Mormon. Everybody ought to know that about you, that you support that cultish, blasphemous religion. But I'm willing to forgive you if you're willing to step outside of that. And also, if you're willing to step up and be clean. Now, you got your own radio show. Why don't you just come on and say, hey, listen, you know, Obama, I sat down with Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly, and they all told me not to say anything about the birth certificate. And then we can all be friends again, and we can get our nation back on its appropriate path. I'm standing here waiting to see what Beck's going to do next. This is the Manning Report, and I'm James David Manning. All right, everybody, it's the third hour of the Manning Report. I am James David Manning, the quintessential American. Of course, you know we're broadcasting from the great metropolis of New York City. Our studio is located in our church building. That's right, and our church building is located in the community known as Opla, formerly known as Harlem, where the long-legged Mac Daddy was a week and a day ago, and we demonstrated under the blood of Jesus one of the more powerful marches and quite some time against the long-legged Mac Daddy and under the banner of the blood of Jesus. And though it did not, while every media from around the world was out there, they slammed us. They didn't show one photo, not any footage at all, of our being out there, but that's okay. You know, our day will come and we'll have everything. We'll share the joy being in love can bring. Will da 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 da. By the way, Bob Dylan was in China yesterday. Bob Dylan's my all-time favorite. And I said, what's a black man like Bob Dylan? Bob Dylan, I got all of his music, everything he's ever done, including you got to serve somebody, whether it be the Lord or the devil. But, you know, Bob Dylan is perhaps the most prolific writer, thinker, musician that the last two centuries have produced. And I could never get enough of his music. I listen to Bob all the time. And you may have recognized some of the statements that I've said from time to time, or clips or plagiarism of some of Bob's famous statements. Songs, however, don't worry, Ma. It's only me. It's life and life only, and a ton of other things. Captain Ahab and Arab and the boys back down in the tank. And as I was leaving the port, I met three ships sailing my way. Well, first of all, when I got back to my ship and took the parking ticket off the mast, just then this Coast Guard boat went past. And they asked me who I was, and I told them for the king, for the Pope of Europe, I was employed. They looked at me kind of quizzically, but they were very paranoid. And as I was leaving the bay, I saw three ships sailing my way. I asked the captain what his name was and why come he didn't drive a truck. And he said his name was Columbus. And I just said, good luck. I'm just a great Bob Dylan fan. That's just all there is to it. I love Dylan. I love James Brown, too. You know, I love the Davis sisters, everybody. You know, I don't like Kirk Franklin, if you want to know the truth about the matter. But at any rate, he was in China yesterday. So I'm wondering what on earth did the Chinese people have to do with Bob Dylan. But I guess they like him over there. He played, in the Great Hall. I'm not sure. You don't hold me to that, you know, very closely, but they wanted him over there. And Dylan's still kicking around, you know. Some of the best music and poetry. I don't know if you want to, it's not, but Dylan's music is not dancing music, but it's great music. Congratulations to Bob Dylan, and many more years to his life. We pray that he would be, and Dylan's, I think Dylan is saved, too, by the way. All right, everybody, take a break. Got to take a break. And I'll be right back with more of the Manning Report.
Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously, and govern the nations upon earth. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him.
I'm James David Manning. I may go to jail, but I'm not going to go away. I am prepared to die that America can and will live free. And I'm not quitting. Patrick Henry said, give me liberty, give me death. And I'm not quitting. I'm not shutting up. I'm not backing up. And even if I go to jail, I'm not going away. I'm just telling you like it is. All right, here's one of my heroes, everybody. Presentation is being dedicated to Glenn Beck.
I ain't gonna work for Maggie's ma no more.
Hey Beck, Bob Dylan is singing for you.
Well, she talks to all the servants about men and God and law.
Sing, Bob.
Everybody says she's the brains behind Pa. She's 68, but she said she's 54.
Dedicates this to Glenn Beck. I know what you mean.
But everybody wants you to be just like them.
Yeah.
They say, sing while you sleep, and I just get bored. I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more.
Special tribute to Glenn Beck.
I want to take a couple of minutes and address something personal between you and me. This is something that I have been thinking about for a very long time. When Fox was generous enough to offer me the time at 5 o'clock, I originally didn't take him up on it. I turned him down. One of the reasons was I didn't want to do this. I hated doing it at the other place. This place is sweet in comparison. But I also knew, believe it or not, anybody who knows me in my real life is everybody. The wee little Aaron will tell you, too. I avoid confrontation like nobody's business. That's why I'm divorced. But it's also, I don't like it. I don't like conflict. But sometimes you have to stand. I took the job 2 years ago because I thought I had something important to share. I really thought that if I could prove my case that something wicked this way was coming, something in America was wrong, America would listen. And they have. I'm surprised at both the number that have and haven't, even with all of the facts. When I took this job, I didn't take it because it was going to be a career for me. Paul Revere did not get up on the horse and say, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. He didn't do it. He got off the horse at some point and fought in the Revolution. And then he went back to silversmithing. If you have watched this program, and you really, I ask you at times, hear me. You know what I believe is coming. If you watch tonight's show, I believe you know that I believe we're heading into deep and treacherous waters. It bothers me to be entering this phase and feel as though you might say, well, wait. I've been very clear with you. I've played my cards face up. We will find each other. I'm developing other content for Fox through specials and other things on television and beyond. I will continue to tell the story, and I am going to be showing you other ways for us to connect. But I have other things to do, and not because it's good or bad for business, but I think you, out of all the people, will truly get this. Our only business is the business of freedom and our country at this time. It's why I told you about E4. I told you at the beginning of the year, prepare to be a leader. Educate yourself. Be the mouthpiece. Never rely on anyone else to spoon feed you. Now today, you have to carry more weight. You must know what you believe. You must be prepared to be the person that explains it to others. Spread the word. Stick together. And together we will do the right thing for our country and for our world.
To the Outlaw War Missionary Church. And of course, on Saturday, we have Sabbath worship every Saturday, as you very well know. On Sabbath, we're going to have a worship at 9:45, which will be the Trust in the Lord segment, which we do every Saturday, and we've been doing now for several years here at the Outlaw War Missionary Church, and every Saturday, God gives us something to say about trusting Him as an art of sacrifice unto Him, an offering unto the Lord God Almighty. And then 11 o'clock, we have the High Holy Worship, where I step into the pulpit of power and I preach there. And that's the 11 a.m. worship service. We'd love to be able to have you come to these worship services. We're having a week of fasting, and the fast will start at 9 p.m. on the 17th of April, which is a Sunday evening at 9 p.m. After you've had your Sunday stroll and your Sunday drive and your Sunday ice cream, we are going to start a fast starting at 9 p.m., and that fast starting on Sunday, April the 17th at 9 p.m., will continue through the night hours into the morning. You'll have no breakfast, no food, no lunch, no drink. And the fast that we're talking about is a complete fast where absolutely nothing goes down the esophagus. Absolutely nothing. No water, no drink, no food, nor anything. However, we do advise anyone taking medication to make sure you continue on your medication. And if your medication requires that you do meals, then that means you're not going to be able to fast. We do not want anyone to go off their medication in the midst of this fast and happen to die or kick the bucket or whatever it is that you're going to do. Get sick and hospitalized or go into a stroke or a blood sugar coma. Don't do that. But those of us who are able to do the fast will start on April 17th at 9 p.m. in the evening and will continue right through the next evening of April the 18th at 6 p.m. We will break our fast at 6 p.m., whereupon effectively every day we will have 3 hours to eat. And then we'll back on fast at 9 p.m. every day. And that will continue until Saturday, April the 23rd. And then, of course, on Passover celebration at the Outlaw World Missionary Church at 7 p.m., we're going to have a major festive Passover meal that'll happen at about 8 a.m. So you're invited to be a part of those worship services. And we pray that you will. Some of you will be receiving notices about this. We do need your prayerful support. All right, everybody, I want to, again, appeal as desperately as I can to everyone who may have fallen out with James David Manning because of my more recent apocalyptic eschatological statements, and that's just a fancy word, just to play with you for a little bit. But those who have had problems with my tribulation statements, my rapture statements, my closed door of salvation statements, and I know I'm a pastor, and I know what it is to have preached a doctrine for many years and then to find that perhaps you may have been wrong, and you preach people have died trusting that your preachments were right. I know how difficult that is. I do. But if it's error, it's just error. And so you've fallen out of love with me, and I'm praying, I'm reaching out to you. And also those of you who believe that the door of salvation will remain open right until the trump shall sound and every eye shall behold him, when Christ Jesus will come at the end of the tribulation and the entire universe will be black as bituminous coal, and you will see the brightness of the Lord God Almighty from the western hemisphere to the northern hemisphere, and every eye shall behold him. The brilliance and the beauty of Jesus, the bright light, the light of the world against the blackness of the universe. The Bible says in Matthew's Gospel 24, 29 and following that the sun shall not give her light nor the moon. There will be absolute darkness in the fall. The stars shall fall and there will be nothing but darkness. And then shall Jesus appear and every eye shall behold him against the blackness of the universe. Then shall those who are dead in Christ shall be raised first, and those yet alive shall be caught up to meet him. But the door of salvation will not remain open until that time. And I've given several biblical examples about the closed door of salvation. I know that troubles many of you. I know that it does. But I'm reaching out to you, and you know that I have been biblically accurate throughout our journey together. And so I want to continue to reach out to you. The other thing is that a number of people have fallen out of love with me because of my statements against Glenn Beck going back a year now. My statements against Sarah Palin going back some time as well. My statement against the Tea Party. And all those statements were absolutely stomped down true. Sarah Palin is not what you think she is. And she deceived all of us when she was in Alaska. And I was deceived by her as well. But not only that, I used to be a member of the Tea Party, and I was deceived by them. My friends, the Tea Party, they're just after money and power, and that's it. They don't care anything really about the Constitution or about this nation. Now, I know that they're individual, faithful, patriotic Tea Party members who are low-level people, who are just foot soldiers, who have a genuine concern about our nation, who love our Constitution, who believe that Obama's ineligible, who know he is not the U.S. president because of the eligibility status. I know that you're out there, but when I talk about the Tea Party, I'm talking about the leadership, because those are the ones that tell you what to do, and like foot soldiers, you do it because you believe that they're going to bring about good.
And so many of you have fallen out of love with me because of that. But I've never made an appeal to try to ask you to reconsider. And those who are of the mindset that 9/11 was not promoted by the U.S. government, I understand how difficult it is for you to conceive of our government turning on its own people. I know that it's difficult for you. But you, if you've been around some of the places I've been through some of the prisons I've been through, watched some of the things that I've seen happen, watched church preachers and leaders do the things that they do, the things I've studied in history that have been validated as man in humanity to man, or whether it doesn't matter whether it's Americans in humanity to man, Bill Clinton and George Bush, or whether it's Gaddafi or Saddam Hussein's humanity to man. It's not a lot of difference, everybody. There just isn't a lot of difference. So I've not appealed to people that have stepped away from me because of those reasons, 9/11, Tea Party, Glenn Beck, Sarah Palin. But I do have to tell you, I do have a sense of relief that now that we've watched what has happened to Glenn Beck, that you see that I am indeed, and Fox News as well, that I was right on the matter and will remain so. Sarah Palin will fall as well. No, she will. And Obama will come down. There's no doubt about it. But biblically, I feel a greater sense of fiduciary duty to you to tell you that I'm speaking the truth about the rapture, about the tribulation, and about the closed door of salvation. Go through my teachings on the days of Esther, the tribulation explained, preach Pastor Manning, more information on the tribulation. Go through those sermons at our website. Just take some time. They're about an hour each. Set aside an hour, listen to them, and you will see and you will hear my heart. But more importantly, you will hear the verified, contextual word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. The Tim LaHaye Left Behind crowd, and many in the Southern Baptist Assemblies of God, Church of God in Christ, and many of these other churches. I know many of y'all belong to these churches, and it's probably painful to hear me slam your denomination. But they're wrong, everybody. They're just dead wrong. And many of these organizations got started as church fights. They split from some other group that was wrong. They were in a group, whether it be the Baptist or Southern Baptist or the Anabaptist, or whether it be the Congregationalists or the Assemblies of God, or whether it be the Charismatic Pentecostals. They were all in some other church group that was wrong. And then they split from that group because they said the doctrine in that group was wrong. And so they latched on to something as foolish as there's a Church of the Lord Jesus, called, that will not allow musical instruments in the church because they said Paul and his assembly were making melody in their hearts with hymns and songs, and there were no musical instrument. It's just wrong error, everybody. But I want to say to you and the members of the 2012 elect that just keep praying with me. Just keep praying with me, and you will see that the Lord has sent me. You will see that God has sent me, and I've given biblical mandate and scriptural address to all I've said about the closed door of salvation. You know, don't you find it interesting that the nation of Israel being in bondage in Egypt for 400 years, and then they were delivered by Moses, who told them of the promised land, but they needed to go through the wilderness first, which is likened to the tribulation, and in the wilderness, they all failed, and God closed the door, and they didn't get into the promised land, just Joshua and Caleb, not even Moses got into the promised land. Don't you think it interesting that God can deliver you from bondage, from slavery, baptize you in the Red Sea? As Paul said, they were all baptized in the sea, and then all their carcasses fell in the wilderness. They didn't make it to the promised land. I mean, don't you see the closed door of salvation? Don't you know that God can close the door anytime he gets ready? Don't you know that? Don't you know that? My friends, I'm simply asking you. I give biblical mandates and biblical documentation to everything I say. And so I'm saying to you, stay with me. Don't leave me. Don't desert me. Don't desert me. Many deserted me in this community when I told them about Obama, and they were wrong, and you and I were right. I'm not right now. I'm just righteous in Christ Jesus. Stay with me. Stay with me. Don't leave me now. Don't leave me now. But the other thing I think you need to know is that I'm going to continue to tell you that your support is necessary. I mean, you're going to have to man up at some time and say, all right. You know, you say, well, I didn't sign on for that. I just like listening to you on the radio. No, but it's deeper than that. And you know it's deeper than that. It's deeper than my just being on the radio and you're listening every day. This is the work of the Lord. It's deeper than that. And you're going to have to make that next step. Assign and align yourself with the ministry. And the first time I correct you, or the first time you step out of line, and then what you do is act like a little spoiled child and have a little hissy fit and say, well, I'm not going to have any fellowship with him anymore. I'm not going to write him anymore. I'm not going to send anything anymore. Don't do that. That is so not you, and that is not what God wants us to be. You have to accept me as your leader. You got to accept me as your pastor. I'm not a committee chairman where people get around, sit around and vote on what we're going to do, whether we're going to believe the Sabbath day or whether we're going to believe, you know, in adultery. And then we all decide once we make a commitment as a democracy, we'll believe that adultery is okay. I don't do that. I'm a leader. I'm God's servant. You know, if you're going to be with me, you don't come in, you don't come with your ideas about a committee. I used to have a woman, fellowship, and every time I preached, she'd come up to me, and she had some of her own liberal, politically correct ideas about what she thought was wrong with the sermon. That's not how you do it. You got to accept me as your leader, and you make a commitment to follow me as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So go ahead now. Go ahead now. And realign yourself, and those of you who haven't realigned yourself, go and take the next step. You need to take the next step, everybody, and align yourself. These are critical days in which we're living in. And God's calling us more than just some sort of a listening and my being a radio announcer. But stop the fighting. Don't fight the truth. Don't fight the power of the truth. Go ahead now. Unite yourself. I will remain James David Manning, unchanged, always abounding in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and always preaching the unadulterated gospel. I will not back up, and can't nobody make me shut up. I'm going to tell it as the truth, whether it's against black folk or white folk. The truth is the truth. So I appeal to you. Hang in there with me now. Hang in there with me. Don't leave me. Stay with me. We'll continue to communicate. We got another bumpy year and a half ahead of us with this new presidential election. Stay with me. Help me financially. Remember me in your prayers. Write to me. Do what you can to help. Be an instrument in the hand of the Lord. Evangelize. Send our videos around to everybody that you know. And tell people to pray when they hear me preaching. Pray when they see me on you. And pray. And don't judge me. But give me the liberty to be God's servant in this day and hour. All right, all right, all right, all right, Manning. Okay, all right. Vaya con Dios. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from the other. May the peace of Almighty God, which passeth all understanding, preside over all your prayer concerns, your family, your financial matters. May the same peace watch over your downstanding, your uprising. If you have not said it with me today, let's say it together in three-part harmony. Boom, shakalaka, it goes right there until you and I are able to meet again, my friend. Peace out. America.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.